I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to KSL Outdoors as we jump into the second hour at just a little after 7 o'clock now, 7:09 on the 22nd of June. I'm Joe Davis. I'm joined by Shelley Marshall and, of course, Matt Jalalian. How are you, Matt?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you doing okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
We now have the coffee is actually flowing in the other room, which is good.
Speak for yourself.
I know. I'm just saying that helps me.
Sure.
And Shell, you as well. You're fueled by coffee a little, I think.
I have to have my coffee.
Yeah, it helps as we jump into the second hour here. But, you know, I'm excited about this. I had no idea that the DWR, Utah DWR, was doing this. They are getting canines. So this is really cool, a canine unit. And Josh Carver is going to be talking about that with Tim Hughes. So, Tim, take it away.
Well, I'm happy to spend the next few minutes, Joe, with Conservation Officer Josh Carver from the Division of Wildlife Resources about a program that used to exist at the DWR, kind of went away in the early 90s, or I guess it existed in the early 90s, but then went away around 2016 or so. Josh, give us a little bit of history about this Division of Wildlife Resources canine program.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I would love to kind of update you about where we are and where we're headed with the canine program. You know, a few years ago, we looked at the potential need for canines. I mean, we've always kind of always had this need to use a canine, but it was more about, you know, do we have the finances and are we getting enough calls? And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, I was sad to see when I hired on was that the canine program had kind of faded away. In the early 2000s, we were basically retired out the last canine in our program. And then at that point, we just didn't, you know, no one really got it going and it just wasn't in the works. And so most of my career, I spent trying to get the canine program up and running, get discussion with it, you know, with our supervisors. And then anyhow, in 2016-ish, they started saying, okay, well, you know, what would it take to get a canine program up and running? And so I actually got my dog, Cody, and he passed away in 2018 from cancer, but he was our first, probably our first canine back in the program is what I'd call him. And he did a phenomenal job. And in that short time that he was working out in the field, he made multiple cases, helped us out with some big cases. And I mean, he proved his worth pretty quick. And so at that point, the chief was like, you know what? I see great value in this. Let's get this going. And so right now we've got two canines that are already certified or out on the roads, out in the streets, in the mountains. And both those dogs went through a canine academy in Indiana. And Indiana Department of Fish and Game or conservation officers over there in Indiana or Department of Wildlife, whatever you want to call them, they have a very specific to conservation officer canine programs. And so that's kind of why we end up over there in Indiana doing the certifications.
Yeah.
And so when our dogs graduated from there, and we've got them out and running right now, ready to go.
All right. So you have your dog now, I guess, Chocolate Lab named Carlo. And
right.
Matt Burgess has his 15-month-old black Labrador retriever, Cruz. Is that usually the breed that you're looking for, the labs?
You know, we found right now that's a really good question because a lot of people will say, well, why don't you use this breed? It would probably be better here. And, you know, they're right. It's kind of like, why buy a truck or an SUV? And, you know, in a lot of cases, maybe the Jeep is the best option for off-road. And so what we've looked at is the lab probably offers us most, it probably offers us everything that we're looking for. You know, it just not the greatest at one thing, but probably it gives us everything. And so, and we also found the labs are easy to please. I mean, they just, they're so happy just chasing a ball. So when it comes to training, it's like, okay, here, throw a ball, and they're happy to do it, and they love it. They love people. And the social factors of a lab, you just can't beat, you know, in comparison to other breeds.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, most of our hunters, they identify with the lab, so that makes them feel a lot more at ease.
You know, it's a natural thing to me. Law enforcement of all kinds everywhere around the United States use dogs, canines, to help them with their investigations. It makes perfect sense that a conservation officer would use the same tools. But give our audience a little bit of a peek of what the dogs are looking for most of the time, because I think they'd be surprised at some of the really intricate, detailed stuff they can help you with in the field.
Yeah, and that's great, because, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's something that people... You know, they're not just a, you know, happy-go-lucky dogs. They're although we appreciate that about them, because the social factors are really important. They need to be able to say hi to people when it's appropriate and then go to work. And when they're working, you know, they're really not worth anything unless they can really benefit us as an agency. And so our dogs, one of the valuable things that they do is in our case investigations, our investigative work. And so in many cases, what we're looking for is to speed up the process. I mean, if we get one case, two, three cases a week, and it takes us a full week to work one case, we're weeks behind. And so with the canine, we're hoping that we can, you know, at least get to the meat and potatoes of things with the case and the investigative portion done, so we can start making the interviews.
Well,
and one of the things our dogs will do. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they're not just looking for people and wildlife, though. I mean, they're looking for guns, shotgun shells, cell phones, clothing, keys, you name it.
Right. And so with that, you know, and we get a case. A prime example was I've got a poached antelope that was poached in my district, and well, close to my district. And so they'd asked me to come investigate it. So I went over there, and when I got there, we found the antelope. And this is one of the antelope that we collared. So we've spent a lot of time and energy on this antelope. And so this antelope being shot, one of the things we want to make this case. And so one of the things that we can use, and I was able to do with my dog, Carlo, is take him out there, let him run the area. One, he's looking for anything with human odor. So maybe the suspect dropped a bullet, shot a bullet, the spent cartridge came out. Maybe he dropped a knife. Maybe he dropped a cell phone, keys, I don't know. On top of that, he can track any human odor. So if a human was walking around, he can track back to where the human shot from, potentially giving us a location of where they shot. And then, of course, from there, hopefully find some more evidence, tire tracks, that kind of stuff. And so the canine is a valuable resource when it comes to time consuming. I mean, we can spend days out there looking and not find anything. Put a dog out there, within a half hour, we might be on a case and running, you know, we might be running the town trying to make an interview or get some tire track photos at that point. And so, of course, you know, there wasn't anything that we could find on this case. But that's just to say, you know, what Carlo did was, which was really neat, and I didn't expect this to happen, is he took me to the spot where human odor was, and there was some tire tracks. And that's where we actually, as officers, when we were looking at the crime scene, we said that would be the shooter's location, just from a distance. Well, when we went out and did an actual search, Carlo took me to that location on his own.
Wow.
And so that confirmed a lot of what we already knew in just in our initial investigation.
I would guess, too, because of the tracking ability, that they probably help out in search and rescue situations once in a while as well, right?
Yeah, and that's going to be something that we're so excited to be part of. I mean, that we would love to, because one of the things that as conservation officers that we get involved in is a lot of these lost hunters, lost hikers, and you know we're already there, we're already, you know, boots on the ground when this stuff happens. And so for us to have a dog and maybe already start before anybody else is there, before we have to get multiple people there, we're maybe an hour, 2 hours ahead of everybody else.
And education use, do you take them to schools and things? Because I'm sure the kids would love them as well.
Yeah, in fact, I had a mom, she sent me an email saying, hey, can you, my boy wants to be a police canine, you know, a police officer, he wants to run a canine. And she said, you know, is there any way that you would bring your dog over for his birthday? And I thought, well, I don't know if I have time for that. But he ended up getting hurt that morning on his birthday. He got multiple stitches. And I thought, man, this kid just needs to see Carlo. And I brought him over there, and that just made the kid's day. So, I mean, not only does he do schools and that kind of stuff, Carlo, he was just happy to go. It was just such a neat experience, and that's something our agency needs to do more of.
Yeah. All right, so for now it's just Carlo and Cruz, and my understanding is that You mentioned briefly at the beginning of our conversation that you lost your dog, Cody, to a sudden cancer diagnosis, which was sad.
Right.
You and Carlo have an interesting story of how you got together, too.
Yeah, it was. So I actually, when Cody had passed away from cancer, which was so unexpected, and it just, you know, I literally thought the program was going to stop right there. Well, the chief was like, go get a pup. So we went and got a pup, and that's Cruz. And so my family and I, we raised Cruz until he was about 10 months old. And then that's when I got a call from another officer who said, I know a guy who's got a dog. He's looking to place it, and he wants it to go to law enforcement. You got to go look at it. So I went and looked at this dog, which was Carlo, the chocolate lab. And Carlo was just not well-behaved. You know, he was kind of out of control. He had some social issues and that kind of stuff. And that's basically because he'd been locked up because the family was like, you know, we can't maintain this dog. He's a work dog, and we're a family. We don't want a work dog. We want a family dog.
Yeah.
And so at that point, we were able to take Carlo and test him, and he tested well. And so I ended up taking Carlo home, and, you know, sure enough, he ends up just – he won't go to anybody but me. So I thought it's just suitable. I take Carlo if they'll let me have him. And then it was neat to have Matt put in for the canine program as well. So we were able to get Cruz to Carlo – or Cruz to Matt, and then I ended up taking Carlo – and so it was neat to have two dogs going in the program at the same time. And, of course, those two are best friends, Cruz
yeah.
and Carlo. Like, when they wrestle, it's just, you know, you just realize that you just have to get out of the way. I mean, those two just love it.
Well, that's awesome. My understanding is that a third one's going to go into training next month, and then a fourth one may come along in 2020.
Right. So we are looking for another dog right now. So we do have one that's already picked, a little female black lab that's going to be in the Duchesne area. And so Vernal area. And so that dog will be hitting the police academy this July. And then we are looking for one more dog. And so we would love to find a dog that someone just can't handle, don't want anymore. That would be an ideal situation for us. Gives it a purpose. Plus we get a great dog out of it. And so if there is something like that available, or someone hearing this may say, hey, you know, I know somebody who's looking to place their dog somewhere else. They just don't want it anymore or can't handle it. Man, call us up. Maybe that's something that may be our next police dog.
Who and what number would they call if they're interested?
You know, I would recommend calling our Salt Lake office and ask for one of our captains, our law enforcement section. And I don't have the number off on me, but they could look it up online, and it would just be Salt Lake, you know, Division of Wildlife Salt Lake office.
All
and
right.
If they ask for one of our captains would be able to definitely square them away on that.
Well, Josh, thanks for sharing your story, and I'm excited that the program is back. Everybody loves dogs, and Carlo and Cruz sound like they're doing a heck of a job out there, and they'll have some buddies coming along soon. So thanks for sharing the information.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me, and if you guys need anything, holler anytime.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, send it back over to Joe, and have more of KSL Outdoors Radio here in just a minute.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors, and I am very happy, as is Shelley, to invite our next guest on the show from Wasatch Mountain State Park, Kathy Danil. How are you, Kathy?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
Hey, we're doing good. I was just telling Shelley, I'm like, this is a great place for a family to go on their first camping trip.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you haven't been camping before, and you're like, I don't know if I need what stuff I need. You know, I'm not sure, and maybe I'm going to forget something, and so you're worried. Don't worry. This is close to civilization.
Right.
Right? The Walmart's not that far away. And then, but not only that, but you have all the expertise of the people who work at the state park who are really kind of familiar with people doing it for the first time. It's a great place to catch for your kid to catch their first fish. There are some easy hikes. It's a great first-timers park, really.
Yeah, 22,000 acres of playground, really. So no excuse not to get out there and have some fun and explore the outdoors, and you can come to some of our programs and learn some things and just have fun.
That's great. That's the idea behind this, is just get outside and have fun. And I have to tell you, I want to throw out a thanks to you from all of my friends in the military here locally for Military Appreciation Day, which just happens to be my birthday this year on August 10th.
No way.
Yeah, how about that? Thank you.
Woo-hoo.
I know you planned it. Thanks, Kat.
I did.
We're very excited about that. So thank you so very much for that. But there are so many other things happening at Wasatch Mountain State Park. Why don't you take us through some of the stuff that's coming up?
Yeah, so today we have our tree hike with Tree Utah, and that starts at 9 or 9:30, depending. Come to the visitor center at 9 or campground at 9:30 if you want to join us. And it's not just about us identifying the trees in the area, but people, we're actually going to teach you how to identify the trees. So, you know, when you just know a little bit about your surrounding area, you just feel more comfortable, you know, when you're outdoors and you can maybe identify some stuff and just get to know it a little better. So that's really fun. We do one of these in the wintertime as a snowshoe hike. And this year we're doing one in the summer to see how it goes. So I'm really excited because it's just totally different from the winter, you know, the winter scenery. So so that's coming up today. And then we also have our Hoover House, historic Hoover House, open from 10 to 12 today. So you can learn about the historical part, you know, the area and the historical part, and the Hoover family. The apple trees have blossomed and they're starting to grow their apples. So that'll happen in the fall when we do our apple harvest.
Yeah, you get to pick apples you can take home. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. You can reserve online. It's $20 for 2 hours of picking. And it's just a really nice family time to be outside in the fall. So beautiful here in the fall.
So, yeah.
So Kathy, so you've got some trail maintenance coming up as well?
Say that again?
You have some trail maintenance coming up as well?
Oh, yeah. We're always doing trail maintenance. We have lots of programs for trail maintenance. We have 40 miles of hiking and biking trails, and then we have the OHV whole complex. So every second Saturday of the month, so our next one is July 13th, we'll be working on the Deer Creek Trail. And then August 10th, we'll be working on the Pine Creek Trail. And you've probably noticed some runoff coming down.
Yeah.
We have a lot of work to do on some of those, especially the Pine Creek Trail. So come out on that. That's August 10th. And we do that from 9 to 1. We meet at a certain trailhead. So all of this information is on our website or our Facebook page. But we also have our trail pods out all through the park. We have 8 of them. So if you come across a funny-looking thing on the side of the trail, it has a couple tools on it, and it just says, give us 60 paces of work. You cut back some of the brush or rake some rocks off the trail or fix some holes if, you know, when it was really wet and people were out, there's some holes in the trail, different trails, and you earn a pin. So it's a one-of-a-kind. Every year is a different pin. This is our second year doing that. So that's exciting. And then we have our dirt crew. So that's kind of a customer service, courtesy. People are out hiking and biking, and you'll see them in green shirts.
Yeah.
And they might stop and say, hey, how's it going? And are you doing okay? You know, are you lost? you know, whatever.
This is great, Kathy.
So, yeah.
I can't wait to get a pin.
We're going to definitely earn that pin. Well, as always, I want to thank you so very much for letting us know what's going on at Wasatch Mountain State Park. There's lots of opportunities to get outside for the first time or your 100th time, but of course, you can check out more at stateparks.utah.gov. Thanks, Kathy.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you. More here on KSL as we check in for traffic and weather. It's what KSL does best. And of course, the news. That's the important part right after this.